it's time for two of my favorite topics, international hockey and shitheel Gary Bettman. Welcome to Unforced Errors, number 25. Not bad. The winter has arrived in the nation's capital. It is snowing like hell. Just finished watching the East Final, the CFL. Cool little piece of Canadiana as you watch. You know, you see all those cool videos all the time of games being played in terrible fog and huge snowstorms. You just don't see it very much anymore. And so that was kind of cool today to see them play in this game in the middle of a blizzard. Would probably be overstating it, but it's been a pretty substantial snowfall so far. Red Blacks win it 35-23. They'll play for the Grey Cup. The West Final is going on right now between BC and Calgary. So I don't know yet who they're going to be taking on. But I'm going to reach out this week. No promises, because I haven't spoke to him about it yet. I'm going to reach out to our boy Nate Sager, who we haven't had on here in a while. He's actually relocated. Makes him a little tougher to pin down. But see if we can get him to tee up the Grey Cup matchup once it's set. In the meantime, a couple of, at least what I thought, were pretty good episodes of Tall Can Sports on the network earlier this week. In particular, if you haven't listened to Tall Can Sports number 95, Rob and myself had a conversation on the Hockey Hall of Fame. And everyone has their opinions on who should be in and who shouldn't. And that's all fine. And so we were no different in that regard. We kind of weighed in with what we thought. I thought, though, there was some interesting conversation on what to do with getting women into the hall. The Hall of Fame was years late in even getting started on that, and they are far from caught up. They are far from where they should be. And so we talked a little bit about how they should handle that. So that's on Tall Can Sports number 95. You can find that in all the usual places, including tallcanaudio.com, which had another great week. Lots of traffic, lots of visitors, so that's very cool. You can check it out in any of those podcast-type places if you haven't done so yet. On to what I wanted to talk about. We're going to get to Gary Bettman in a second and his latest antics as chief shitheel of the hockey world. Before we do, an interesting news tidbit today that I don't think is getting as much attention as it probably should. Dylan Strome of the Arizona Coyotes has been returned to the Erie Otters of the Ontario Hockey League. Well, who gives a shit about the Arizona Coyotes? I mean, no one in Arizona cares. Why should we? Well, we are just around the corner from my favorite sporting event of the year, the World Junior Hockey Championships, of which he is still eligible. And essentially, Canada just had their number one center handed to them. If you recall, Strome was the number one center on the team last year. In what you could probably call an underwhelming year for the Canadian entry. But he played very well. And there's no question that you want him on this team. And he will be the number one center. He was with Arizona. He had one assist over seven games. Interestingly, over 37 days. Some of you may know, the NHL has a rule with the Players Association and with the junior leagues that once a guy has played his 10th game in the NHL, you've burned a year of his contract. You can still return him to junior hockey later on in the year, but you've burned a year of his contract and he becomes a free agent 1 year sooner. So most teams don't. You wouldn't burn that year unless you know you're going to continue to use him and he's really going to make an impact for you. He played 7 games over 37 days. Most teams are about 18 games or over 15 games anyway into their season. And so they've staggered his games. Instead of, no one says you have to burn all 7 or all 10 of those games right off the hop. You can stretch them out. Some of you will recall I was, it's a little embarrassing. I was advocating that approach for Mitch Marner, who has been fantastic for the Leafs in terms of being a rookie and his production and what he's been able to do, mostly on a line with Bozak and Van Riemsdyk. But he's been great on the power play. He's been great at 5-on-5. I kind of thought he might not be quite there yet before the season started, and I was advocating this approach. The same one that Phoenix took with Strom, apparently, where you stretch out those 10 games over a month or two and then lend him back to the World Junior team and then make your decision on what you want to do. Mitch Marner will not be made available to Team Canada. He is one of Toronto's top 2 or 3 players, so he will not be going. But that was sort of the comparable, at least at the beginning of the season. So Dylan Strome will be Canada's number one center, just made available to them. It's huge news. Not very big news if you're, just an NHL fan. If you're someone who gets into the World Juniors every year, this is big. Also, within the last week or two, the New York Islanders released Matthew Barzal back to his junior team. He was also on Canada's World Junior team last year. He would be as close to anyone as a lock for this year again, and probably the number two center. So Christmas has come early for Hockey Canada, as they've just been handed two guys who have elite offensive skill for this level. And it frees up a couple things. I think most of us would assume Mitchell Stevens, who was the third center last year, he will be made available again. Travis Konecny is another guy like Mitch Marner who there's no chance Hockey Canada is getting. He's been playing for Philadelphia. He's been playing well and in key roles. They won't be giving him up. Here's another guy you're not getting back. Connor McDavid. Somehow, unbelievably, still eligible to play at the World Juniors. He will not play. Seems unlikely. Come on, Edmonton. Greater good here. Do it for your country. Let's have Connor back. So just a little interesting tidbit there on how things start to shake out. The official invitations to the December camp, where they will officially select the team, those will go out on November 29th. Okay? And the camp itself will be begin December 11th, just north of Montreal. They'll have it up there. Some interesting pieces there. That probably means Tyson Jost and Pierre-Luc Dubois, Colorado and Columbus picks, respectively, who are capable of playing center, will most likely now move to the left side. There's a chance that Arizona could also send back Lawson Crouse, and the Islanders could send back Anthony, I believe, is in Beauvillier, I'm not quite sure. Those don't seem as likely to me. But if they did, those are also left side guys, and that would change some things for both Pierre-Luc Dubois and Tyson Jost. But that would be an unusually high number of guys being returned from NHL teams, so I don't think anyone should really be counting on that. But Dylan Strome, back from Arizona to junior hockey. He'll play there for a couple of weeks and then be off to lead Team Canada. So kind of big break for Hockey Canada in that regard. I wanted to talk about our pal Gary. And I know it's a little unfair sometimes to put all of this on him as he works for the league. He works for the owners. But make no mistake, he has some stroke. He has some control and he can steer this group a little bit. And his executive board of 6 or 7 owners that, kind of speak for the group are very loyal to him. And certainly have no problem telling him what to do. Some news came out this week that shows him, again, to be just a disingenuous douchebag, which really was just reaffirmation more than news to anyone. For months now, Bettman and the league have been talking about what it would take for them to go to the Olympics. The next two Winter Olympics are in Korea and in China. So those aren't exactly prime-time hockey markets. The games will not be on at ideal times in North America. If there was ever a time to bail out and stop going, this is probably it. Players don't want that. Players still want to go. Interesting to keep in mind that many people would have thought after Vancouver was the time to get out. But you were coming off the heels of having been able to play in Salt Lake City, so the U.S. gets one at home, playing in Vancouver, so Canada gets one at home, and you got a lot of really influential Russian players and whatever that kind of would have went, hey, what the fuck? That's not going to be the case going into Korea. Excuse me, you can tell I'm battling something here, as a lot of people are this time of year, but we're working through it. Bettman said over and over and over, you can find it online, you can find video of him talking to Ron McLean at the World Cup, talking about the numbers. That it costs roughly $10 million, give or take, to make that happen. The stoppage of the NHL season, the transportation of getting not only the players, but the coaches and, you know, some of the equipment guys and whoever else are involved from across North America to wherever in the world they're going to have to go for the Olympics. There's insurance. You have, like, all these contracts, these guys who play are just huge money contracts, and it costs a lot to insure them. Each NHL team insures their guys, but that doesn't cover them going to play for another team in another tournament somewhere. So that's part of it. In previous years, okay, the IOC has chipped in or outright paid for that as a way to convince the NHL to come. It's good for the games, it's good for TV ratings, and so they cover that. This year, the IOC has said they won't. You know, we're not going to do that anymore. So Gary said, well, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to, as owners, to disrupt our season and pay to go play at something that we get real no benefit out of, other than some exposure, which is important, right? But they get none of the money for TV ratings. They get no money for jerseys sold. They get none of that. That's all goes into the Olympic coffers. So you're asking the league, and it's not an unfair point, to pay for the right to go and make someone else money. Now, the other side of that coin is the league knows their players want to do it. Their top guys badly want to play in the Olympics. So you do have to keep that in mind in terms of a harmonious working relationship and these sorts of things. But there was this impasse on who was going to pay for that $10 million. So in the last week or so, René Fassel, who's the head of the International Ice Hockey Federation, worth, you know, just quickly explaining, the Olympics don't organize each individual sport. They host the games, right? And so the IIHF is the one who is in charge of organizing the hockey tournament under the Olympic banner. So the president of that organization says, yeah, you know what? We've been talking to the league. We've been talking to some of our sponsors. We can get this done. We'll come up with the money. Don't worry about it. Everybody's kind of like, all right, well, I guess that's solved. Oh, here, enter the shitheel. Gary comes out and says, well, you know, that's not really the issue. The money's not really the issue. I'll tell you what we'll do, though. If the players will agree to extend their collective bargaining agreement by 3 years, we'll let them go to the Olympics. Just sign on the dot right now, extending this agreement for 3 more years, and you can go. So, man, there's a lot of things that kind of are wrong with that approach, and that I really take exception with. Let's start here. You look like an asshole. Again. You just stood there and lied to the world. all your stakeholders. I don't want a single one of you to start tweeting at me talking about, well, it's big business and there are business decisions to make. You know what's good business? Not fucking with your stakeholders. Your business partners at the IIHF who found a way to make this happen. Yeah, we were just bluffing. When we figure the rest of this out, we'll still let you pay for it, even though this was never the real factor. But this was never the issue, so, you know, thanks anyway. The IOC who's sitting around waiting. All your sponsors, all your fucking fans who pay the bills. You're just dicking around with all of them. So, there's one end of it. You look like an asshole. And here's one. You keep this in mind. Make sure you remember this, because they have set themselves up to look like douchebags again in 5 years. The players have the option to opt out of this contract after the 2019 season. It's a 10-year deal that they signed, but with an option to opt out after 8 years. So whether that happens, which it likely won't, but let's see, we get to the end of the contract at the end of the 21-22 season. How does Gary look at the fans and the sponsors and the TV networks then and say, yeah, we're locking the players out to get a better deal? Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you not sit there and just say you would be happy to continue this agreement? You tried to force feed it to the players for another 3 years. What's so wrong with it now? That will happen. Make no mistake, when we get to the lockout again, everyone will forget this little conversation that they tried to pull. They've got a shotgun to the player's head right now, and so they're trying to use it. When they need a different tool later, when this no longer applies, when this isn't a factor, they'll find something else. But do not forget for a second when we get to that point, because you know at the end of every deal we have a lockout. They don't know how to fucking negotiate. So you remember at the end of the 22 season when Gary stands up there and saying, oh, you know, it's just so hard. We can't possibly go on under this contract. We're going to have to lock them out. Fuck you. You are absolutely able to go on. You're trying to go on while you have the fucking momentum. And I get that there's a certain amount of business savvy to that. But man, if you're actually paying attention, if you actually look long term, it just shows them again to be disingenuous shit. Fucking, I kind of ran out of rage there at the end. But keep that in mind. When they find a new excuse to lock them out, that they were absolutely willing to continue on under this deal, and they're lying to you again. Don't forget that. Another reason that this makes them look so bad is there's a little factor here that we have to talk about. It's called escrow. The players in the league have an agreement that splits the league 50-50. The owners make 50% of the revenues, and the players make 50%. So that it goes towards their contracts. To make sure that that happens, players have to have a certain amount of their salary held in escrow every time they get paid. To make sure that if at the end of, you know, the year, at the end of the month, whenever they calculate it, if the players have received over their 50%, the league still has some control to claw back what they need. That's the part that the NHL is trying to hold on to. Because right now that's uncapped. And it keeps coming in on every paycheck at around 15% of the player's money is being held back from them. Because apparently no one in either organization is able to correctly assess how much money they're going to make. And it's the players who pay the price for that. You know, you sign a $10 million deal, but we might keep 15%. It might not actually be. There's a certain amount of that you have to allow for. I mean, you don't have to look any further than Ottawa. Everyone thought it was kind of funny and a joke that they didn't sell out their home opener. But then in their 20,000-seat building, a week or two later, they had a night of 11,000 people. And then they've had two more nights at 13,000. These are terrible numbers for a Canadian team. And that means that's money not going into the pool. So there is going to be some. I mean, you expect Florida to have terrible attendance. You expect Ottawa's fans to actually be able to support their team. So those are variables that you can't account for, and that's why the escrow is needed. In the NBA, the escrow is capped because they have a similar system. It will allow you to have the escrow, you know, coming from the player's side, but you never take more than 10%. Why don't you just do your math better, right? It probably would drive you to be a little more efficient in how you figure these things out. You know, if we miss by 12%, the players are only giving us 10% back. We'd better be close, right? Whereas in the NHL, it's, we just take whatever we need. So that's what the NHL is actually trying to lock up here. They know the next time they have to sit down and negotiate, the players are going to try to drive that cap in, that you can't take that much. So the NHL is saying, why don't we just keep this deal for another 3 years and we'll let you have your Olympics? And the players have kind of gone, we're not that fucking stupid, right? So, I mean, we were stupid enough to make that mistake the first time. We're not making it again. So that is a factor here. So in addition to get back to the main point, in addition to the players being allowed to have the Olympics, which they want, as part of this new deal that Bettman is trying to drive through, his bait and switch deal, now that it's not a money thing, is we'll give you the Olympics and we'll commit to another World Cup and this weird Ryder Cup thing. For those of you who know golf and tennis and whatever, they have these sorts of international competitions that are just kind of thrown together. We'll do one of those and we'll go back to playing regular season games in Europe. Let that sink in for a minute. We'll give you the thing you want and a bunch of shit you don't want, and you can keep paying us. That's the deal they're trying to drive through. Hey, LA Kings and Chicago Blackhawks, we're going to put you on a flight in October to start the season to Beijing. And New York and Tampa, you're off to Stockholm. Well, what the fuck? Who cares? The players don't want that. That's an NHL thing. That's trying to, and it's a good idea. That's how you try to increase your audience, right? That's how you try to create new revenue streams and build new fan bases. And it's a good idea. But to try and sell it to the players like, hey, look, you can also do this. They don't want that. And you start looking at, we'll do another World Cup. Well, everyone saw how popular the World Cup got. Not very. I don't know what this new World Cup or new Ryder Cup thing that they want to do is going to look like. But start to look at these things and look at who's going to pay the bill for it every time physically. It's the same guys over and over. We're going to do another World Cup. Okay, so that's Crosby and that's Ovechkin and that's, you know, Henrik Lundqvist and all the top guys. They're playing in that. And then a year and a half, 2 years later, we're going to do this Ryder Cup thing. Well, that's going to be made up of all your top guys again, because that's how you sell things. So you're asking the same guys to keep doing all this shit for the league, and you're asking them to pay for it. There's no way. There's a great article by Larry Brooks. I'll link to it under Unforced Errors 25 at tallcanaudio.com. And we'll put it up on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/tallcanaudio, that goes into a little more detail on some of this stuff. But essentially, the deal that the NHL has proposed is we'll give you the Olympics and a shit ton of stuff that you don't want. And in exchange, you do some more stuff that you don't want. I don't know who in their right mind thought there was even a chance the players would go for this. And in the process, they've made themselves look ridiculous in the eyes of the fans and their partners and their sponsors. And I don't get what Gary's deal is here. And I don't understand how people keep, you know, I get that he represents some people, like I said at the beginning, and that they're backing him. But this was ridiculous. You lied to one of your biggest partners and your sponsors. You know, fuck the fans. They clearly don't care about the fans, so it doesn't matter that they lied to them. You also lied to your players, and now you're trying to make them look like the bad guys. And every person that I've spoken to about this so far sees right through it. Just another fucking check on Bettman's resume of hot garbage. Hey, Sydney, I know you want to go to the Olympics. Can you also go to Helsinki?
What?
No. I don't think I want to do that. Here's the beauty of it. Because Ovechkin, just like before Sochi, where it made sense. Before Sochi, before those Olympics in Russia, Ovechkin told the NHL, I don't care if you go. I'm going. And I would have loved to have seen how that played out. The exact same thing's happened now. He said he's going again. And all of these guys, if they wanted to, could. Like, really look at the names you're looking at here. There's some guys that are going to play for Latvia, right? Like, Zemgus Girgensons is going to get in trouble. Some of the Germans are going to get in trouble. But Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Henrik Lundqvist and Erik Karlsson, they jump on planes and go to the Olympics. And when they get back, what's going to happen? That team going to suspend all their best players? Absolutely, that's what they should do. Those guys would all be in breach of contract. But you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Those guys up and left for 2 weeks. When they came back, your answer is, okay, you're going to sit for another 2 weeks? Not a chance. Every single one of those teams will fold. It's ridiculous to think anything otherwise. Because their own financial well-being depends on it. Now, I'm not saying Crosby's going to do that. A lot of these guys are good soldiers. But they could if they wanted to. And Ovechkin would. He will. I hope he does. I'll be cheering for him. The league would be powerless to stop them. You're in breach of contract. Yeah, I am. What do you want to do? Should I go home for another week or two? Rest up from the Olympics? It was tough. You guys are good without me? Okay. Stupid, man. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see them go, yeah, you know what? If you don't want to cancel games for those 2 weeks, that's up to you. I'm gone. So, that's probably about it on this topic. Like I said, I'll throw the New York Post article up from Larry Brooks on our website and on our Facebook page. It's an interesting situation, and it really paints the NHL in a bad light once again, which really isn't all that uncommon at this point, is it? So we'll try and be back. Like I said, we'll see if we can get Nate Sager on here this week on to Talkan Sports to break down the Grey Cup. And we'll try and have a couple other things for you as well throughout the week as we go. I'll try to be healthy by then. Otherwise, have yourselves a great week, and thanks for listening to Unforced Errors, and we will see you down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.